Acts chapter 20, beginning verse 32. And let me say this, when we dismiss tonight, Brother Chad is going to come in, and there's some things he wants to discuss with everybody before we leave. So depending upon when I finish, I told him I would finish by 8 o'clock. A lot of times I finish before 8. You're just going to have to hang in. So instead of going to group prayer, I may just have a couple men pray for all of us tonight. And Brother Chad will be in here at 8 o'clock. So be sure and hang around for that. Beginning Acts chapter 20, verse 32, if you would stand with me. Beginning verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know," this is Paul speaking, "ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all." Heavenly Father, speak to our heart tonight about giving. Help us never to be selfish in our attitude towards giving, giving to you and giving to others and giving to special needs and to missions. Help us to learn to give liberally, to give cheerfully with an open heart. And Lord, we know that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You can replace everything that we give 1,000 times over. But we probably couldn't handle that. You give us just what we need in the time that we need it. And I'm so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 35, Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." These are red letters in your King James Bible, if you have a red letter edition. That means it's a direct quote from the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else in Scripture is this found. Do you know that the Apostle Paul, after he was saved, went out into the Arabian desert for 3 years and was personally taught by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by God, whatever. But much of what Paul preaches and has written in his epistles came not from the apostles, a lot of it did, but from his personal relationship with God. And this is one of those things. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is a principle that if you can learn will revolutionize your life. It is more blessed to give. Giving does not always mean giving money. We can give our time, our talent, our ability. Not everybody has the same to give. Some guys work hours where they just don't have time to give. They can give money because they're making more money. Some guys are not making as much money, but you can give of your time and your ability. How do you think our lawn gets mowed out here during the summertime? How do you think the snow gets, well, Chad does the snow work. Thank God for Chad and his truck and his dad. But the lawn mowing, it takes a lot of men and a lot of time to keep our yards looking good. And the churchyard ought to look as good as any one of our yards and ought to be kept up. When you come in, if you see some trash out here in the where somebody just thrown stuff out, You ought to stop and pick it up. You ought to take pride in your church. Amen? And this is all part of it. More blessed to give than to receive. Now, giving is an attitude, and you must want to give. Got an article here that I cut out of Terre Haute Tribune, January 13th, 2018. It's a whole thing here. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to give you what it talked about. Talked about the Queen of England. She's a pretty wealthy lady, isn't she? And talked about her handbags. All of her handbags are personally made. Cost somewhere around $1,200 to $1,500 per handbag. And I forget how many she has, 35, 40, 50, 100 of them. I forget the figure. But it's enough that she can switch them quite often. The sad part is that in her handbag on Sunday, when she goes to church, she has a 5-pound note stuck in her side, her purse, that she will take out, and that's her offering to her church. 5 pounds, something like $6.45. Most of us wouldn't even think about not giving that much. Here she's got all the wealth of the hierarchy of England. And see, giving's an attitude. And it's far better to give than to receive. Jesus himself elevated giving when he said, it is more blessed. Not just blessed to give, but more blessed to give. You see, God's given us everything that we have. I mean, the very air that we breathe comes from God. Every step that we take, the ability to take that step, comes from God. The home that we go to, the couch that we sit down and watch TV on, or the easy chair that we recline and do whatever we do in our home, these things come from God. There's not anything that you and I manufactured and made ourselves without that ability coming from God. And God said through the Lord Jesus Christ to Paul, it is more blessed to give. More blessed. That sort of means it's a privilege to give. You know, most of us look at giving like, well, let me see, my tithe, I made this, or my tithe is $15.28, or $35.95. I learned a long time ago when I paid my tithe, I figured what my tithe is, and as God gave me more, I changed, but I would pay my tithe not $35.98, I'd round it off to $50. And if it was $75 and whatever, I'd round it off to $100. And because I travel, a lot of my tithe is much bigger because I don't tithe to other churches when I'm gone. I want you to know that. I save it up and give when I come back home. And I tithe. But I always round it off now to the next $100. And God has blessed me in a great way. Why? Because it's more blessed to give. I love to give. And some of you have been recipients of things that I've given, or some of your relatives have received things that I've given. And I don't go around and tell people who I've given to and what I've given. That's between me and God, but I do want you to know that I have learned it is more blessed to give than to receive. I've not had to be on the receiving end very often. And in later life, I've not been on the receiving end at all. The day may come. If I pass out and faint tonight, I'm going to need some income. And I want you all to remember that. Because if I don't go these next 9 Sundays, I don't have any income coming in. Amen? So there's a method to my madness. Okay. 5 reasons. This is a pastor's outline. 5 reasons that giving is blessed and more blessed. Number 1, I am blessed to have so that I can give. I am blessed to have a job and to have income come in and to labor to earn so that I can give. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We work not only to meet our own needs, but we work to help meet the needs of others. And the more we help others, then God gives us more to help ourselves. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Do you get the progression of giving? You give because it's more blessed to give. But as you're giving, you're building a foundation in your life that you're building upon, that when your need comes, it'll come back to you. Or when your family has need, you can give. That's why the Bible talks about widows that are widows indeed. Let their family first help them. Amen? And that's the family in the church and the family of God. And it's a blessing to be able to help people like that. Number 2, I am blessed because I care enough to give. Not everybody does. John chapter 13. And after the sop, this is when the disciples were together and having the Lord's Supper. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, Judas Iscariot. And Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. You see, the other disciples didn't know what Jesus was saying to Judas Iscariot. Judas knew. Yeah, he was on top of it. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake unto him, for some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, he was the treasurer of the group, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Judas held the bag, but he was the least qualified to handle it. That's all in God's planning. The disciples thought Judas was to give since he held the bag. That was their way of living. You understand, everywhere Jesus went, Jesus gave. You never see people coming saying, here, let me give to you. Take this. It was always Jesus giving. I understand he took the young lads fish and loaves and fed the 5,000 out of it. But he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave. Jesus had nothing, but gave everything. I think I told you this once before, and again, I use myself as an example because I know more about what I've done. Preacher preached, about a year ago or so on the widow giving her last mite. About a week later, God began to work on my heart. Said, Joe, why don't you do that? Give your last mite. She gave her all. And I did that. I cleaned out my wallet on Sunday night, Wednesday night when it come by. And not only did I take everything out of here, I took the change out of my pocket, and I always carry an extra $100 bill because I travel just in case I come up short. And I took that out and gave it. I mean, I was broke. I went home with my checkbook. Now, I had some bills coming due, and I kept the money that I had to pay those bills, but other than that, I emptied it out. I never missed a meal. And it was only about 2 weeks, God had restored everything I gave and then some. So you can't shake my faith on giving. I've tested God and proven God. And he is faithful. He's much more faithful than we are. John 3, 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Boy, it's difficult to walk by. Now, let me clarify that. I see some of these guys out at the same street corner with the sign, homeless vet, homeless this, homeless that, week after week. As I look at them, if they're healthy enough to stand out in weather like this and hold up a sign like that all day long, they're healthy enough to go down and find a job somewhere. The Bible says that a man that won't work shouldn't eat. And boy, that's a difficult thing. You've got to have the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes people are just, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more. And I want to see something in them that turns around and goes the other way. But if I see someone that's in need, I want to help them. I want to give them some food. I want to give them some money if I feel that it's a big help to them. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's between me and my God. What I give has absolutely nothing to do with you. We're not comparing each other. But I am asking you to do what God would have you to do. Proverbs 22:9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Do you keep an eye out for people like that, or do you just turn your back and walk the other way? Number three. I am blessed to be chosen to give. Matthew 19:16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, this is God speaking to him, God the Son. But this man did not realize and acknowledge Jesus as God. He looked at him much more like just a prophet or something of that order. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. If you're going to heaven today, depended on you giving away everything you own, lock, stock, and barrel, would you be willing to do it? Now, we know the Bible, and we know that we don't get to heaven by what we do. It's what Christ did on Calvary. But this young man didn't realize that. He said, What do I need to do to go to heaven? He said, I want to live luxuriously here, but when I die, I want to go to heaven. Jesus knew that his God was his possessions. And that's why Jesus said what he said. Had the young man gone out and given away everything and obeyed God, I believe Jesus would have saved him, because that would have been an act of faith, believing the Son of God. Not giving away, but because he believed God and would do what God said. He didn't have that kind of faith. He went away sorrowful. God chose the young man, but he chose his own riches instead of God. God knows what you're holding on to. What do you have in this life that's more precious than a relationship with God? Now, I dare say most of us in here tonight, if not every one of us, would say, Nothing, nothing, nothing. But I'll guarantee you there's people that come in on the bus and visitors that sit here on Sunday morning, and when they hear the challenge from the preacher, they think, Man, I'm going to have to give up too much. I don't know that I'm willing to do that. If you're not willing to do it, you've settled your destiny. God doesn't ask for everything we have. He just asks for all. All of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our assets become part of His. And when you're willing to let go and say, Lord, whatever it is, I'm giving it all to you. Here it is. Take and use it to your honor and glory. Number four, I am blessed to give. Just the act of giving is a blessing. Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. It's not a matter of saying to someone, come over, come on, come on, come on, while all the crowd's around, and you open your wallet, and here, let me give you a dollar, or $5, or $10, or $20. I give like that occasionally, but usually what I'll do is slip the money out of my wallet, fold it up in my hand, and shake somebody's hand or put it in their palm. Not for other people to see. It's nobody else's business. And God blesses me for it. It is more blessed to do it privately than you receive an open reward. I don't give because I say, okay, God, I'm keeping score. Here's what I've given. Now, what are you going to give back? You keep that attitude, you're probably not going to get much back. But when you give of an open heart, an open mind, an open soul, you can't outgive God. One reward is just the satisfaction of giving. Isn't it fun when you've helped someone that has a special need and you see that need met and the joy in their eyes and in their life? That makes it worthwhile. To give openly and before all to see is its own reward and not necessarily pleasing to God. That's much like the Pharisees did. Everything open and public. Tithe and faith promise is private. This is our mission month, and we all need to participate in it. And I'm not going to compare me to you, and I'm not going to compare you to me. That makes no difference at all. It's finding out. Pastor Ross, Jerry, always said that his dad always said this: when it comes to giving, you pray and ask God what he would have you to do, and then do that. And then you're obedient to God. Number five. I will be blessed to receive back. Reward can be the return of growth and growth of what you have given. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You give out for God to give back, that you may give out again. It's not a matter of us trying to store up wealth. I just looked on the internet and a thing popped up of the 20 richest preachers in America or in the world. $1 million, $4 million, $5 million, $10 million. $60 million, $80 million, $150 million a preacher of the Word of God accumulating that kind of wealth down in Oklahoma, in Tulsa, I believe. Not Oral Roberts. $150 or $60 million accumulated wealth. That's not why you give. And I would never beg and plead of someone to give their last $1,000 or their last $100 or their last $5 to test God. That's not my responsibility. If God has you do that, I told you what happened to me. That was God proving me. He's not going to do that to everybody in here. You give as God directs you to give. You pray about what you ought to give. The tithe is automatic. Pastors preached on that. 10% of whatever you have. And I think it ought to be 10% plus. And then your offering above and beyond your tithe is to give to missions and to the school and to yard work and maintenance and the upkeep of our buildings. There's a warning in giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, and I think this is every man, woman, and kid, children, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That word cheerful means hilarious. Hilarious giving. I learned that in Bible college. I never forgot it. Forgot most of what I learned, but not that. You do not give to the church to meet the church's need. Mark it down tonight. If you stop giving right now and never give another penny to another offering in this church, this church will go on. Because it's God's church, and there's enough of God's people in here to pick up the slack where you're going to back off. Now, some people have done that. You say, well, I would never do that. Oh, yeah. You get mad at the preacher, so what do? You move over to another church, and maybe you take your tithe over there. Maybe you don't. I kind of have my doubt about people that move from church to church, whether or not they're tithers. Sure. Pastor Jerry doesn't check the tithing record. He doesn't know what you give. Nobody in here except Brother Jack. I think somebody's got to know because they got to fill out the thing. But he's never told me what any of you give. Except Samuel. He told me you missed last week. No, it's nobody's business what you give or what you don't give. Did you tithe last week? Talk about being put on the spot. But when's the tithe begin? It's not when you get married and start a family. My wife, I've told you this before. My wife, after I got saved, the first thing she taught me was tithing. Because when she was a teenager in the church over in Hymera, she got her 25 or 50 cent allowance each week. She took 10% of it and put it in the offering every week. And I thank God for that. She taught me a principle. So from that day, she taught me that. We started tithing, not on what I brought home, but on the gross income. And you know, Connie, neither one of us missed many meals. God was so good. You do not give to the church to meet the church's need. You give so that God will meet your needs. Amen. So in closing, attitude towards giving and finances and riches and wealth is very important. Do not be a give me, give me, give me. But look where you can give and share what God gives you. We'll close with this story. And if someone would want to run out and let Brother Chad know I'm finishing up a few minutes early, we can pray until he comes in. Matthew Henry, the great commentator of the Bible. Matthew Henry commentary, that was one of the first ones I learned about in Bible college and had all these years. A great theologian. He reported of being mugged one night. Mugged. Instead of blaming God, his attitude was this. Number one, he said, I'm 40 years old and I've never been robbed before. Number two, he said, I was robbed, but I wasn't hurt. Number three, I was robbed, but he didn't get much. And number four, and here's attitude, I am glad I was the one being robbed and not the robber. What's your attitude towards giving? Jesus said, it is more blessed to give, more blessed to give than to receive. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to preach this tonight. I know the preacher preached it so long ago, but it's worth repeating. And I pray that during this month of our missions outreach, that we will all look to you, Lord, and find out what we need to give, how much, how often, and to what areas of the ministry. The tithe belongs to the church for general fund. We give above and beyond tithe for faith promise missions and for other areas. God direct us, help us. Thank you that you have blessed our church family so much, that our income has been so well taken care of. But God, there's so much more that we could do, more missionaries we could put on the field, maybe another bus on the bus routes. Whatever it is, God direct us and help us, and may we use every penny that comes in here wisely and be led by the Holy Spirit of God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.